50 years ago tonight, a young woman lost her life in an accident in Massachusetts. Her name was Mary Jo Kopechne. She was 28, just a week from her 29th birthday. She was the passenger in a car that drove off a very narrow bridge and ended up in the water off Martha's Vineyard. She was trapped inside and drowned. The driver of the car? Massachusetts Senator Edward Kennedy. The scene of that accident was a small island called Chappaquiddick. Now, many believe that the Chappaquiddick incident influenced Ted Kennedy's decision not to run for president in 1972 and 1976. In the late 1980s, journalist Leo Damore succeeded in breaking through a years-long wall of silence about Chappaquiddick in a New York Times best-selling book called Senatorial Privilege. I talked with him about it in 1989.
I tell you what the cover-up is, what was accomplished, how they did it. And a part of the cover-up, regrettably, is an obstruction of a judicial inquest, perjury under oath, and subordination of witnesses for perjury.
Why has all this been kept so quiet and so covered up for 19 years before your book was originally published?
Because it was a cover-up that worked. It was a cover-up that was accomplished by a very, very powerful political organization, by a very skillful PR apparatus. Nobody handles the media any better than that apparatus. All of the people who were at the party, many of them had to go into that inquest, had to commit perjury in order to support Mr. Kennedy's version of these events. If you had committed perjury, you'd keep quiet too.
But you know, when you carry a secret, especially a secret that involves the death of another human being around with you for all those years, it begins to eat at you. Your conscience
Absolutely,
gets to you.
Of course, and this is what happened to Joe Gargan. This was a terrible, terrible weight that he had carried at the time of Chappaquiddick. Of course, he was brutalized by the media. He was called a stooge. He was called a man used by the Kennedys to empty glasses and order food, a bag carrier. And in some instances, he was catechized as more guilty of wrongdoing than Ted Kennedy, because if Ted Kennedy was in a state of shock after the accident, what was the matter with Joe Gargan and Paul Markham? They were not in a state of shock. They were both lawyers. Why, if Ted was unable to report the accident, why didn't they report the accident on his behalf? But that was not the case. He was not in a state of shock after the accident. He was not injured. He was in charge. He specifically did not want to report this accident. He told them, ultimately, that he was going to take care of it, and got out of the car and dove into the water to get to his Edgartown Hotel. But what does he do when he gets to his Edgartown Hotel? He goes into his room, changes his clothes, dries off his hair, comes back out of his room in order to have a confrontation with the innkeeper. And what does he tell him? I was asleep, not true, and I was awakened by noises of a party. I have misplaced my wristwatch. What time is it? And the innkeeper tells him it's approximately 2:30 in the morning, and is there anything else he can do to help him? Mr. Kennedy says, no, there is not. He returns to his hotel room, and from all of the evidence I've been able to gather from all of the people I talked to who were with Mr. Kennedy the next morning, where he appeared completely normal, well rested, he apparently went to sleep. Secure, I think, in the knowledge that Joe Gargan, knowing what Ted Kennedy wanted him to do, and that was to report the accident in such a way as it would not involve him at all. In other words, he wanted him to report the accident as having occurred with only Mary Jo Kopechne in the car after he left the party, and proposed that he do this. Joe refused. However, Joe is his cousin. Joe is his advance man. Joe had spent many, many years cleaning up Ted Kennedy's messes. And in this instant, Joe Gargan would not do it.
They couldn't have gotten away with that story anyway, could they?
Well, I don't know. No, I doubt very, very much. And another thing I'll tell you about Joe Gargan. Joe Gargan is a man is an honorable man and really a man of high moral courage. Joe would never have done it. This is the point. You see, as he is portrayed in the media at the time, sure, he's a stooge, he's a bag carrier, he does exactly what he's told, but that was not the case. You are dealing with a fine man who is a good and honorable lawyer. He's not going to make a misleading and inaccurate report of an accident to the police and chance getting caught and losing his license to practice law. And there were the other ethical and moral aspects of this. He mourned the loss of Mary Jo. It was extraordinarily difficult for him, having this information and having to return to the cottage and not saying anything to anybody else, because he wanted to give Ted enough time to do what he had very plainly said he was going to do, and that was to report the accident. He said, all right, Joe, I'm tired of listening to you. I'll take care of it. You go back to the cottage. Don't tell the girls anything about the accident. I don't want them involved. I'll take care of it. Gets out of the car, jumps into the water, and proceeds to go across to Edgartown. And I repeatedly asked him, was he in a state of shock? Was he upset and agitated and ranting and raving? No, he said. He said, we had a guy right up to the time that he jumped into the water was fully capable of reporting his own accident. What happened to him after that, I don't know. But we know what happened to him after that. He very calculatingly went back into that hotel in order to establish an alibi time-wise. Did not report the accident. The next morning, he got up, shaved, showered, went down to the hotel. Room clerk asked for two newspapers to be reserved. Asked for a coin in order to call a girlfriend, Helga Wagner. He didn't tell her about the accident. He just said something very, very serious had happened, and he wanted the telephone number of his brother-in-law, who was in Spain, which he was unable to supply. After that, he returns up to his room, outside of which is a porch, where he encounters other people who are at the inn and engages in a half an hour to maybe a little longer, a very casual conversation about the regatta races and isn't this a beautiful place. And it is that tableau which Joe Gargan and Paul Markham observe when they in haste return to the Charlottetown Inn the next morning and realize that he hasn't reported the accident, which he confirms in his room when they ask him, and he says, I didn't report it. And Joe Gargan flips. He says, my God, this is even worse now than it was last night. We've got to report this accident, and we've got to report it right now. And Ted Kennedy says, I'm going to say that Mary Jo was driving the car. And Joe Gargan says to him, you can't say that. You can be placed at the scene of the accident. Let's go. Still, he does not want to report the accident. He wants to talk to an aide in Washington. The only pay telephone that Joey Gargan knows about that has any modicum of privacy is the same one that's over on the Chappaquiddick landing side where they were the previous evening arguing about reporting the accident. So they go over Chappaquiddick. Mr. Kennedy is on the telephone with his aide, who is urging him repeatedly to pay attention to what Joe Gargan and Paul Markham are telling him and report the accident. Evidently, Mr. Kennedy still does not want to report the accident when they look, and coming across on the little ferry boat is an auto wrecker with its red light on, which indicates to everybody that the accident has been discovered at the bridge, and now he has no choice. He's got to report the accident, and by this time, it's 9:30 in the morning.
But, Leo, you know, you make him sound like a common criminal. He's a cold-blooded, cold-hearted, who knows that there's a girl dead at the bottom of that water that he could have saved if he'd called for help sooner.
I am not characterizing his behavior. I am only reporting what he did. And this is what he did.
After all these years, what do you want from Ted Kennedy? What does the public want? What do the Kopechnys want?
I don't think it is a matter of what we want. Obviously, right from the beginning, we wanted from Ted Kennedy the truth. I think it's very important for any country, but particularly ours, that we have an accurate record of our own history. This was a very important episode. This was not just an automobile accident. This was an episode that altered the course of American politics. Now, of course, with the benefit of hindsight, we can really almost realize that Chappaquiddick marked the first tolling of the bell for the end of the liberal hour in American politics. And why? Because the chief exemplar of that political ideology was severely hobbled by this incident, could not run for the White House in 1972, nor in 1976, and that happened to coincide with a slight rightward cant to the country, and we would have had a completely different kind of a situation without that episode.
Now, the Chappaquiddick story is a tragedy, but this story ends in even more tragedy. Just 6 years after my interview with him, Leo DeMoor was broke, depressed, and about to be evicted from his home when he shot and killed himself in 1995 at the age of 65. Senator Ted Kennedy died of brain cancer in 2009 at the age of 77. I'm Bill Thompson, and now I've heard everything.